This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Cohen.
I'm Madeline Brand, the traveler with TB, the richest man in the world, and a town in New Hampshire that has never hosted a presidential candidate. In a few minutes, we'll update those stories from the last few months.
But first, there are some startling new numbers out of Iraq. Private contractors now outnumber the 160,000 American combat troops there. More than 180,000 civilians are working in Iraq under U.S.-paid contracts. That's according to a piece this week in the Los Angeles Times. Reporter T. Christian Miller wrote that story, and he joins us now. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
As you've reported, these contractors, there are 21,000 Americans, 43,000 from other countries, and 118,000 Iraqis. Who exactly are these people, and what kind of jobs are they doing?
Well, it depends very much on the nationality in question. The American contractors, many of them are at the top of the chain. They're often doing security work, guarding and protecting Iraqi officials and U.S. officials, and they're helping to build a lot of the reconstruction projects that are going on in Iraq, things like hospitals and police stations and things like that. The second tier of contractors are the foreign contractors, which is the number that surprised me the most. Those are people whom we have brought from outside of Iraq, people like Filipinos and Nepalese, to do menial labor mostly, helping do laundry and cooking for U.S. troops. And then the final and the biggest group are the Iraqis. And they're people who do everything from make-work type projects, that's digging ditches and things like that, to translating, to helping teach Iraqis how to have democracy.
These were numbers that you gleaned from the State Department and the Defense Department, but you write that there might be thousands more we don't know about.
Yes, even now, as has always been the case in Iraq, the contracting picture is very cloudy and very hard to figure out. Nobody keeps track of the number of contractors in Iraq. Nobody ever has, nor is there any one agency which keeps track of all the spending that goes on in Iraq. So what I was able to do is get some figures from the Department of Defense and then other figures from the Department of State and USAID, which are among the three largest groups which have contractors in Iraq.
These contractors are being paid with U.S. tax dollars. Military officials say that they help cut costs by using these contractors, but how does that work? Do we pay them less somehow than we do the military?
Yeah, the military has two main arguments for using contractors. One is they cost less, and they cost less mostly because we don't have to pay the after cost of a benefits program for contractors. We hire them, use them for the job, and then they're done with the job. So we don't have to worry about long-term costs. And the second reason they use contractors is to be able to focus soldiers on their work, which is fighting the battles, instead of having to worry about soldiers doing things like kitchen duty or digging ditches or anything like that. So that's the two reasons the military gives.
Do you have any sense of what kind of training these people receive? I mean, I'm just imagining a Nepalese person all of a sudden being thrust into a situation in Iraq. It must be culturally a very different situation.
Well, the third country nationals, those people from outside Iraq, are amongst the most abused, according to any number of investigations. There's even been accusations of labor trafficking, that the U.S. is engaging in labor trafficking by bringing in third country nationals who don't have any knowledge that they're going to Iraq, who think they're going to other places like Kuwait or something. So there isn't a lot of training for those guys. Many of the American contractors do receive some kind of training going into this fight, but certainly with the third country nationals, you've had cases where they've been slaughtered in the desert and nobody's even stepped up to own up to having hired them.
As for the Iraqi contractors, I understand many of them are hoping that working as a contractor will someday eventually enable them to come to this country. But the U.S. says it just plans to allow only 7,000 Iraqis. Now, there's 120,000 or nearly 120,000 contractors. It seems like the math there isn't going to add up.
Yeah, that's the nightmare scenario for the State Department and for the Department of Homeland Security is, do we have a responsibility to allow them to immigrate to this country for the service they have done for American officials or American construction companies? And that's an argument which is right now being sorted out and has not been sorted out very well. And so you've seen this promise of 7,000 slots being reserved for Iraqis, but you haven't seen any kind of action to deliver on that.
Los Angeles Times writer T. Christian Miller. His book, Blood Money, Wasted Billions, Lost Lives, and Corporate Greed in Iraq, just came out in paperback. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.